I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Boxer Pod, a rainy, cold evening in England, in a dark time in our history. We are back to the Iron Ages, and grafting at the coalface of that iron are our guests, who we welcome now. Please welcome to the Boxer Pod, live from 1 mile down the road, Jamie Atherton.
Hello!
Live from London town, it's Matthew Wandless Chimney Sweep.
What is dead may never die.
And live from outside London at his farmhouse is Ben Hilton.
Hello, hello.
And live from You Ain't in Kansas Anymore, Yes You Are, it's Mel. Good evening, Mel.
Afternoon all.
Oh God, Mel, you're so quiet.
Pump up the volume, Mel. Turn on the soup.
It's practically in my mouth, you
that's
guys.
It. No, that's it. When you said in my mouth, that's how loud you have to talk.
Just keep it in your mouth.
Oh my God.
Okay. Put it. I want to hear the inside of your sinuses on this podcast, Mel. Mel is from Chuck.tv. Matthew Wandless is a creative type. When I say creative, I mean he wears a beard. Ben also wears a beard and does lots of things related to TV and film. And Mel, have I mentioned Mel? Mel runs Chuck.tv. Chuck.
Yeah. No, Mel runs Chuck.net.
Chuck.tv.net. I've got to get it wrong every time. And Jamie.
It has no beard.
And it has no beard, as far as we know. We're not sure. So welcome to the podcast, everybody. What a crazy week we've had in the UK. Mel must have been watching. What was it? What's it been like to watch the United Kingdom this week, Mel?
Terrifying.
Really?
It's been like watching BS in 4 months.
Like so. What? Like watching your neighbour have a bonfire indoors.
Something like that, and we've got people with building. Collecting wood and gathering matches over here for our election in November, and I just hope they're paying attention.
I was about to say, now you know
we're
going
like to have an
yours.
Election before you. I mean, this is what's so crazy is we've spent fucking years watching your election slowly fall in on itself, and then all of a sudden, in like 10 minutes, we've decided to have another one.
Yeah. In the race for the bottom, we may win, Mel.
Can I ask? Was Brexit like the lead on every news channel, or was it just like, oh, and also this happened?
It was the lead, yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of questions about how it's going to impact the global economy, and of course, since we are the global economy, it's all about us. and then came the cautionary tales about if you elect this person, you know, whoever we don't support, this could be us come November.
Uh-huh. Right.
How has this, we'll talk a little bit more about this in a bit, but what I want to talk about tonight, and I want to also do a shout out for Tiernan's podcast, the Partly Political Broadcast. If you want to hear somebody shouting at the sky about what's happened in the last week, Tiernan's the best at it, and it's very good. I've listened to it already. He does a Brexit special, so we won't dwell on the ins and outs, mostly outs of it, but I want to look at how it affects our arts and our entertainment and our TV, because I want to take you back to just before the Olympics. In fact, just before the last general election in Britain, the BBC started to do programmes about, for example, Margaret Thatcher. It seemed to suddenly occur that there was a lot of sort of preparing ourselves for a potential Conservative government. Satire, I think, has been largely missing from our TV for a long time, apart from the obvious, tell me what I'm talking about.
Day to day.
No, more, that doesn't exist anymore. Armando Iannucci.
Thick of it.
Thick of it.
The thick of it.
Thick of it.
And so, like, the BBC Three stuff.
Yes, bits on the BBC Three, which has now been moved online. There's been lots of... and then we got the Olympics, and there was the word Great Britain and British started to be used in everything. And now, a lot like in America, I think, every packet of food in the supermarket has British grown written on it, or British this, British that. And it's been quite a long time of this kind of... the mark... What's that?
I think that's my laptop.
What's it doing? Turn it off.
Playing an advert. Don't worry about
what
it.
What are you watching?
Jamie's just casually browsing. Yeah.
Jamie's just typed the words Brexit into Google to find out what we're talking about.
I've just typed what is the
like
European
half the rest
Union?
Of your country.
I just typed in Brexit babes into Google and found a few choice clips.
Boris Johnson and thongs.
Brexit babes. Excellent.
It's the title of the podcast, unless we come up with another. Anyway, my point was the word Britain began to be used as a brand name and used as a way to sell lots of things. And that coincided with quite a tough time economically. And it just seems like we've been really ramping up, certainly the newspapers, to this point now. And I wonder what television and what entertainment will come of this, because people get frustrated in times like this, don't they? And they let it out creatively. Has anyone come up with a phenomenal idea for the next satirical comedy show on TV?
Well, I just saw on my, you know, that horrible Facebook sidebar, they dug out a clip from Yes Minister, where Appleby says that the goal of the UK's foreign policy is to destabilise Europe. just seemed quite relevant.
There's a really good article Amanda Iannucci wrote for the New Statesman, and he talks about how he's constantly asked why doesn't he bring back the thick of it, and he says that why would he in this age of politics where he actually says the political landscape's so alien and awful that it's hard to match the waves of cynicism it transmits on its own. So there's no need to parody something that's already a parody of itself in a way.
God, there's such a need, though. I wish he wouldn't sit back and write that off. Because, I mean, I saw today the BBC News article which said it was comparing the promises of the exit campaign with the truths, now with what they've said since. And it's kind of, we will give all the money to the NHS. And they immediately said, no, we won't. This will stop immigration, which was the big reason. Essentially, the vote was founded in racism, in my opinion. And now they say, no, actually, it won't cap it that much. It's like almost every one of their main promises. And if you can say one good thing about last week, it was that finally people who don't vote got up and went and voted. And that in a democracy, I believe, is a good thing. What this will do, if they all realise that they were just lied to, imagine, I mean, before they said all politicians are liars, now it's just going to completely destroy all that. And people are going to need to watch good things on the TV as a result. So thank God for the one thing saving the world, which is this podcast.
Yeah, I do Thank find God. Myself when we're going through when all these things I'm watching all these things on the news, I do find myself already imagining Charlie Brooker's Newswipe for next year, and seeing exactly what he's going to take out of it all, and imagining where he's going to go with it, because you can't help but see the funny in it all and the tragic funny of it all.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there was a real period after it happened. I think those the first day afterwards. Where we all just wanted to emigrate. And then I thought today, you know, I pulled up at a roundabout. I was driving around a park today, and I saw all the cars going around the park. And stop instantly jumping to paedophile jokes. I was just driving around a park. And I instantly thought, of all these cars driving around this park, actually, pretty much half of them agree with me, and half of them don't agree with me. And... there's some hope in that, is there?
And did you flash your headlights and find out who did?
I held the bag of sweets out of the window. Said, who wants to join my camp? Yeah, but Mel, seriously though, you've got Donald Trump, and surely that is even more rotten. I think the people here will realise sooner that this was a huge mistake than when they elect Donald Trump, which they will, won't they?
Please, God, no. But I have to say, and I think I mentioned this in a previous conversation that the rest of the world was not privy to, so I shall repeat myself,
yeah,
that his poll numbers are tanking. He's not able to pivot into the more middle of the road rhetoric that he needs to unify the Republican Party. It's not happening.
Right.
And there are now, you know, there are now prominent Republican leaders who are saying we can't vote for him. Barbara Bush, who's very well respected, you know, wife and mother, respectively, of separate presidents.
Yeah.
Just to make that clear.
Yeah.
has said that she can't vote for Trump, and she can't imagine why any woman would.
Wow.
So, I mean, you have these.
When a Bush, I think it was
Reagan's son who came out and said, "Yeah, exactly." When a Bush can't even vote for him.
Well, I mean, in fairness, when she was at Jeb Bush's campaign, she couldn't even summon any enthusiasm to endorse her own son. So
the Republican Party is so far beyond where it was when she was an active member.
Right.
That she, I mean, you can just see on her face she cannot believe this is what it's come to.
And was that when you were an active member as well, Mel?
I've never been really an active member because I came of age as it was falling apart.
Right.
I mean, I was able to vote, but I wasn't really paying much attention.
Yeah.
And then once I was starting to pay attention, that was after September 11th, and the rhetoric, I just couldn't get behind it.
Wow.
I think that the difficult thing for us, Mel, is that you've got an idiot there who's campaigning to be president, and then you've got an opposition who's not very well liked, but you know, at least she's sort of statesmanlike or stateswomanlike, and we don't have an opposition. It's just falling apart in front of our eyes. In fact, only an hour ago, the opposition leader lost his no confidence vote by about, I think it's 170-40, and still won't resign. So we don't even know if we'll have an opposition party by the end of the week. So we don't.
I love that he won't step down. That's awesome.
I mean, he's just the most. He is the most stubborn man in the world.
They're gonna have to cart him out, aren't they?
So we have no. It's not like we have. Oh well, you know, at least there's an opposition party that we could vote for and try and figure something out. Like. The whole everything's crumbling in front of our eyes. It's crazy.
It's so such a weird thing to know that the Prime Minister's quitting and the leader of the opposition's useless, that you really are kind of...
And the manager of the England football team has quit at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow, right to the heart.
It really is like a parental country nightmare, isn't it, I think.
Could we have? Could you send Obama or Bernie Sanders? Could we have them on loan?
They're not allowed to do anything good over here. So perhaps
can we have John Oliver back for a while as well? Can we
just for a bit?
No, we need him. We need him.
Hey, you know John Oliver's take. You know he did a takedown of the whole Brexit thing in last week. Yeah. That wasn't even allowed. Broadcast in Britain. Because of the political laws about campaigning for a specific side prior to the referendum is that he wasn't allowed to be broadcast until after the referendum. And also, like as you say about satire, there is a law that means that no footage of Parliament or any parliamentary proceedings in Westminster can be used in a satirical show. It's against the law to actually use any footage whatsoever in a comedy context, which is why.
What about I got news for you?
They don't use it. If you watch it carefully, you'll see they don't use any parliamentary proceedings. Yeah, it's against the law.
Okay.
But you can recreate it, right? Like you can fictionalize it?
yes, you could. You could
have. We could have we've got a rich history of cartoon illustrators.
Yeah. And this is the frustrating thing that Jamie and I found a lot when we were on the real radio, was when you came to an election period, you know, an email would go around saying, under no circumstances discuss the election. The only thing you can say is, I mean, you could do stuff if it was very carefully balanced, and the BBC is even more obsessive about that. So in our traditional media, in terms of broadcasting, you will never, ever be given a view that isn't immediately, if you like, cancelled out, because it's got to be balanced, which sounds like a great democratic theory, but it means that really Hitler would be given equal footing with somebody sane. You know, a dickhead can be given equal footing as everybody else. Meanwhile, the newspapers fall under the free press, and the newspapers in this country are largely one-sided right-wing papers who, really, they're the only ones telling the public, inflated, exaggerated bullshit that will win votes. And it has a huge effect. And to think that if anybody thinks that all the newspapers do is follow opinion, it's nonsense. It does follow opinion, but it emboldens opinion and whips it up. So it's a great injustice, I think, that the broadcasters, particularly in commercial broadcasting, where a lot of the people who voted exit will be listening, don't find ways of being able to properly explore issues, because it doesn't make commercial sense to them. They can just play music.
See, on the flip side, over here, Trump's campaign, he's received more than $2 billion, $3 billion, I think was the last number I saw, in free media, because we don't have laws like that.
Well, yeah, he's not got an ad buy. He's not spent any money on ad buys or anything, has he?
Good God.
I mean, he's paying himself back and his family for things, but he's barely had to spend any money. He spent $200,000 on those stupid Make America Great Again hats.
It's
but
fucking clever, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Well,
capitalism, yay.
It's the Kanye West the PR method. You notice Kanye West every so often has this phenomenal, says something or does something phenomenally stupid, and it's always within a week of him releasing a new album, and he gets more coverage than he could ever get if he actually tried to promote something with
see,
money.
At least Kanye is an artistic genius. Trump is just a waste of space.
Well, is he? Was Hitler
Kanye's a what?
A waste, an artistic genius, Matt. Have you listened to I was trying to quote a Kanye West album then. What's the one with School Spirit on? Dropout? High School? Never mind, forget it. Point is, Matthew gets some taste. Mel's,
I haven't listened to
right.
it. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm fully prepared to acknowledge that.
He's not everyone's taste, but he is I'm not a particular fan of his, but I recognize that he has skill.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
Trump's skill is bullshitting everybody and bullying and getting what he wants and, you know, screw everybody else. So,
but Trump is doing the exact same thing that they did over here, and it's the exact same thing that Hitler did in the 30s,
which is
say, take back control. And the political parties over here, my dad, who studied politics at Oxford, said to me a week before this referendum, he said, yeah, the political classes are going to get an absolute kicking based on immigration, because they haven't managed to control the issue. And all people have to do is say, take back control, and it'll chime with everyone. It's a very attractive message after the last 10 years of trouble in Britain, to say, take back control. Always wins, it always works, and that's every single speech Trump does, every single speech someone does on behalf of Trump, they just say the words, take back control, make America great again, and that's it. That's all you have to do, which is why I think even with Barbara Bush opposing, I fear for the future of the universe.
I don't want to assume that intelligence will win. But I am seeing glimmers of hope that where, you know, a month ago I was getting pretty scared and looking at immigrating to, ironically, to the UK. So,
I want to do something now to change the mood of this podcast. Let's move back to entertainment. Jack Boardman, our work experience boy, is sitting in a field that he claims is where the Battle of the Bastards from Game of Thrones was filmed. He's drinking Guinness and he's camping in what can only be described as a November-like evening in the north. So, shall we try and get Jack patched in? This could go in any direction. Let's see.
Let's hope he's drunk.
I think he will be, and I think he'll be trying to pretend that he's not.
Like me, most days.
Like Ben, most days. Ben doesn't even know when he's drunk. Also, I want to bring up the subject of what do you watch when you are miserable? What is the thing that can take you away from this world of shit? Let's discuss that while we try and get Jack on, because he's not. So let's begin with Mel. Mel, what is your go-to when the world has got too real and adult? What do you go for?
I love to put in my DVDs from The Vicar of Dibley. It's got that lovely sense of community, and yet it is outrageously funny and ridiculous, especially the further you go into the series.
If you were to
I will howl. I'll just howl with laughter.
I thought you were saying my name then. If you were to come to Britain, how much of it would you expect to look like the town in Dibley?
Gosh, I don't know. Wasn't it filmed in Ireland?
No.
It looks more like what I think Ireland looks like, honestly.
That's probably true, actually. It probably is a bit more like what Ireland looks, but a lot of the south, certainly where Ben lives, I imagine.
It basically looks like my village.
I don't think that question gave Mel an awful lot of credit.
Why? Well, her answer was, I think it looks like Ireland. So, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty much right.
But
did anyone see...
Twee countryness.
Say again, Ben.
Twee countryside.
Yeah. Do you have a local vicar in your town, Ben?
There's four buildings in my village. There's a a post office. There's a post office, a pub, a shop, and a church.
Ben owns three of them.
And yes, I know Nick, the local vicar, and his three children, one of whom is the same age as my daughter, and his wife, and they all go to the same playgroup that we go to on a Wednesday.
I thought you lived on a barge, Ben.
No, that was about 5 years ago, Jamie.
Keep up, Jamie, keep up.
And Ben, is Nick a cool vicar?
Oh, as vicars go, he's a nice guy.
Did anyone watch Rev?
Rev's amazing.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
That was a good show.
Did you watch Rev?
It's not a take me away from the world, make me feel better kind of show, but I do really like it.
That was shot all around Hackney, which is where I lived before I moved here.
I would say that's a pretty good depiction of Hackney, actually.
It is. It's excellent.
I think so.
Because it is Hackney.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? What about the complex, creative
Matt,
mind?
Who doesn't like anything.
Matt, who doesn't like anything.
What warms your cold heart?
Yeah. Well,
what's this? I want to know what
it's
is...
It's like an Alan Partridge phone-in.
The Walking Dead. Bits of people falling off of bodies.
I really like to watch a bit of Star Trek The Next Generation if I'm in,
there we go.
In the doldrums.
Yes.
Really?
Good choice.
Yeah.
Why?
The other day, on Saturday, I had most of the afternoon by myself, which is a rare thing for me on a weekend. Mm. And I turned on the TV at one and I was just flicking through the guide and Sci-Fi Channel, Star Trek The Next Generation, I was like, yes. And it was the first episode of the two-part episode, Chain of Command. And I was just like, oh, just couldn't get any better. Chain of Command, by the way, I don't know if there are any Star Trek fans on the podcast, but it's the one which spawned the classic line, there are four lights. And,
classic line.
It's a good one.
Classic.
No, that is an excellent two-parter. It really is.
It really is, yeah.
Star Trek, I thought when I was a kid, was cool because of the dude with the glasses that made him see and baldy Jean-Luc Picard. But I never got into it properly until recently. I started watching the films on Netflix, and I just love them. And I realized that, you know, science fiction is about bigger ideals and philosophy.
Hang on, which films?
The recent ones.
No, they're garbage. And the old ones.
No, all of them. All of them. All of the films.
All right, but the new ones are to a letter terrible.
What?
Yeah, they're not good.
Why? What's wrong with them?
They're just awful.
Why?
Because, well, A, they've completely shat all over their source material. And B, they've taken everything about the Star Trek universe and just thrown it away. It's all about people fighting and destroying things now, and it's supposed to be about fucking discovery.
They're trying to make it, you know, a Marvel superhero universe, and that's never been what Star Trek was.
Yes, you're exactly right, Mel.
Well, I enjoy them. I think that they're great.
Well, you're wrong.
Of course, you do, Howell. You're their demographic.
You nearly call me Highwell.
Highwell.
I don't know. I don't know how to say your stupid name.
What about you, Jamie? What's your go-to?
Well, in times of desperation like we're going through, it's got to be Spaced. I absolutely love Spaced.
I nearly said Spaced as well.
And I can watch it again and again, and even though I know every single line, I still laugh my face off at every single line. And it's just I love that little world. I love every single character in it. It's only like 12 episodes, 2 series, but they're just the perfection, absolute perfection.
Yeah. I agree. If there is a perfect series out there, I'd say that is about as close as you get.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it certainly tries very hard to be perfect, doesn't it? It's Edgar Wright's production values are through the roof. But I'm not sure if it's... is it a world...
Are they on that show?
Oh, yeah, for its time. Oof. Unbelievable. Attention to detail, the number of, you know, nods to other things.
That doesn't mean it's got high production value, just because it references other things.
Ben, tell him. It's got high production values, doesn't it?
No, I wouldn't say it's got high production values. I'd say that it's got style which is unashamed of its low production values.
Okay, all right. It's got high stylistic values. That's what I meant. It's got a lot of...
It's got high integrity and innovation, but low sort of production values. It's not glossy. It's not expensive.
Yeah.
It's sort of... It's cheap, but it's clever with it. I tell you where the high production values are in Space. It's the fucking soundtrack. The soundtrack to Space is incredible.
It is excellent, actually, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, Ben, it's your turn. What's your go-to comfort blanket?
Well, this week, because I've been miserable, Orange is the New Black started, the new series dropped. And I got 10 minutes into the first episode and thought, I can't do this. It's too serious.
We need to discuss this.
And then I tried to watch some other stuff, and it was like, oh no. This, I've been watching The Americans, and that's sort of cool. I really like that, but
brilliant.
Too serious. So what I've done, and those are both series that I absolutely love. But so what I've done is I started watching The Royal Family from scratch, from the very first episode. It's what, 18 years old now, and it's all on Netflix. And I started with episode one, and I'm going to watch the whole thing, and then I'm going to watch Early Doors after that. And
it is Early Doors is brilliant as well. Yes, have you watched that before?
Yes, I have. It's amazing.
So good.
Underrated, I think. Mel, have you watched The Royal Family? Do you know what we're talking about?
I've not. I'm actually looking it up right now so that I can sound semi-intelligent about it.
See if it's on your Netflix. Do you have
Netflix? See if it's on. It's so old. It's in square. It's not in widescreen. It's in wire.
It's so old. It's like not even 20 years old yet.
It's nearly 20 years old. It's 18 years old.
Yeah, but why?
But it's like the benchmark world... British comedy.
Why does that
years.
World give you comfort? This is, why?
Because it's a sort of safe home comfort. Like, the arguments aren't about the national economy and the state of the nation and bigotry and where we're going. They're about, like, you know, like little domestic niggles and arguments between people, and at the same time sort of touching on people's prejudices, but not in a way that's, it's acknowledging it, but not, you know, deep-rooted discussion about it. It's not like watching Horace and Pete, where you've got to sort of go through an entire search of your soul in order to get it challenges you to fucking, like, go deep into yourself. It's just, it's lighter than that, but touches on, still keeps you connected with reality. It's like serious reality.
There's something I urge you all to find. I think I've said this on the podcast before. Jamie's heard me say a lot. When something terrible happened in our life a few years ago, probably about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we lost somebody that we know, and it was horrific, it was horrible. And all of us sort of came together, and we found it very difficult to watch a lot of things on TV. And I think the two things that we just watched constantly was South Park and a program called Voyages of Discovery. And if you can dig it out, perhaps illegally, I'm not sure, it was a BBC Four documentary series starring our now friend Paul Rose, who's a real-life adventurer. And he was just telling the story of different voyages of discovery that changed the world, like Magellan traveling to wherever he went across the... I think he's the one that went around the Cape, wasn't it? Anyway, different, very fair, Captain Cook and things like that, big famous voyages. And it is so good to be taken on that journey and just out of that world. Likewise, South Park is something that is such a great... like, you know, I was saying before, we haven't got a leader at the moment. I almost feel like going, show me a hero. Where's our heroes? We haven't got any heroes. South Park, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, they are the closest thing to heroes that I can think of, because it's almost like every issue that they take on, they manage to get every perspective and give a resounding, definitive fuck you to the common sense of it all, you know? So I recommend those two things.
They have done just some of the most iconic stuff in the last 15 years, haven't they? Yeah, so much of what they do is quotable. And oh, Team America, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Top three favourite films, I think. I just think it's such an achievement satirically, in terms of puppetry. You know, it was, even now you watch it and you go, no one was making a summary of the Bush years, you know, of all of that war on terrorism thing as well as that at the time. Nobody saw it that clearly at the time, and they did.
I love South Park, but sorry, I feel like it's a little too harsh for times of, you know, when you need something to, like, something comforting, like a cup of hot chocolate. South Park doesn't fit that kind of world for me. It has to be something like Royal Family's good, because it's like you're in the bosom of this little family, sat on a settee with them for half an hour. I can see how that would actually help. But yeah, I think South Park feels a little bit too...
Most of them would have voted exit, though. That was what would bother me, Ben. I don't mean to ruin it.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that I think that's the point, is that, you know, some of them would and some of them wouldn't, but it would be the discussion and the sort of...
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think
it wouldn't have got as dark as all this has got dark. I think the worst thing about Brexit, the bit that none of us can get over, is that it's caused us all to have conversations, or people have revealed themselves, friends and or family or people that you're close to, people have revealed themselves to be sort of fundamentally very different.
Yeah, it's the enemy next, like, door, isn't it?
Like a sort of civil war kind of thing. Like that, now it's all over. I can't unthink that. I'm judgmental, and they know I'm being judgmental, and I know they're being bigoted. Nobody can go back to it being sort of normal.
But you've stumbled across the answer there as well, which is that actually racism is a confusion. It is ignorance, as in not being educated. It's fear. It's all things that we are all guilty of at certain points, even if they don't manifest themselves in racism. And when you meet these people, if you were to sit in their living room while they're watching TV, as in the royal family, you would realise that actually people, 99% of people are kind-hearted. They've just been guided in the wrong
direction.
I think
that's the royal family's got a big heart. That's the thing. It's a show where everyone, it's like a room full of love, regardless of what everyone bickers the whole way through. Everyone's arguing, but they're in that room together by choice, and that's what I'm searching for in a TV show this week.
Well, I'm still on my West Wing binge. I've now gone round the entire 7 series and caught up with where I started, and I'm continuing.
Surely now, though, you just must watch that going, oh, it's never going to happen. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
This used to be like a dream show, and now it's like, what you could have won.
It's just, it never occurred to me when I watched it the first 3 times quite how much Sorkin got the formula is real exploration of realistic arguments, topped off by wish fulfillment. And that's my favourite thing.
That is, isn't it? It's a very, it's a great formula when you realise that that's what he does.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's like,
I do find his stuff very comforting in times of need. Actually, I'll offer, like yesterday when I was more hungover than I have been for several years, I put Moneyball on, but not least because we were talking about it on Sunday, but also it's just like it could have been A Few Good Men. It could have been The Social Network. It could have been The West Wing. Could have been, well, no, it wouldn't have been Newsroom. But
sorry, Matt, but you've just been trumped by the bastard in the field. Jack has just popped up. Jack, I want you to build a picture for us, like a roving reporter. What can you see? What's happening? Is there anybody dying right now?
Right, okay. I'm stood next to a river, and there's some ducks going past in that. Big black clouds above me. It's about to absolutely piss it down. I can just see a tiny bit of sun just in the horizon.
Is anyone else imagining this on 5 Live?
I'm imagining this as a David Attenborough documentary, but with Jack doing the commentary over the top instead.
Give us more, Jack. Give us more. We've got the ducks. We've got the fact it's going to piss down. What else can you see?
Okay.
And where are you? What's the relevance of where you are, Jack?
Oh, right. it was mine and my girlfriend's anniversary yesterday, so we've come to a field to camp out for a night as a nice surprise, but I didn't know about it. So I'm dressed in, like, nice clothing, and I've turned up to a field full of shit, basically.
So what?
Who organised this?
Not me, just my girlfriend. Yeah,
what did you organise?
I
deserve your field full of shit, don't you?
I organised a meal for last night, but then I realised that the restaurant that I'd booked it for isn't open on Mondays.
That's not organised at all.
That was trying my best as well.
So your girlfriend kept it secret that you'd be going to a field?
Well, yeah, it's meant to be, you know, a sort of adventurous, spur-of-the-moment kind of thing.
And is she dressed properly? Has she got wellies?
Well, yeah, I'm not... Like, we've got the full gear. We've got the disposable barbecues, all the sort of stuff to go on it. Apart from chairs, that's the only thing that we're lacking.
Important question. Have you got a car? Because you're going to need it the next 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, we have got a car, and it's meant to absolutely throw it down between 1 and 2 a.m.
Is it true that you're somewhere near the Battle of the Bastards, or did you just make that up?
Oh, no, I just made that up.
Oh, I see.
But I could be, I mean...
I feel like that was clear to everyone else who read that.
Yeah. Everybody knows. Everyone thought that, oh, no, Howell's just misread that message.
Oh, dear. So it's just you two in a field, yeah?
Just us. And there's a few cows in the distance.
Jack, are you allowed to be in this field? Does it belong to someone?
Well, see, I'm expecting the sort of boom of a shotgun at about 11 o'clock at night and a farmer come past on a quad bike.
You're not, you just...
Going to have a whole Withnail and I sort of
Yeah.
Player. Have you come on holiday by mistake?
Have you literally just found a field and gone in it?
Well, apparently it's meant to be a bit of a thing that people come here and camp out. I mean, it's probably a dogging spot or something. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, there's literally there's no one else camping. It's just you two.
Just us two, yeah. I'll send you a picture later. You'll be surprised.
It's because I imagine anyone who wasn't constrained by it being their anniversary on this very day has looked at the field and gone, I think we'll choose another night.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's not going to chuck down.
It's just like the shittest Glastonbury ever. I can't believe there's just two of you in this field. How close to the water are you? If it rains very heavily, are you going to be in trouble?
If it rains very, very heavily, we're getting washed away.
Okay.
Basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, has anyone got any further questions for Jack?
I want to know what his comfort TV is.
Oh, yeah, Jack.
What is comfort telly? Yeah.
Yo, actually, Jack's a young person. Jack, what is your sentence on the Brexit and what have you been watching on TV as a result? Which way did you vote, Jack? And what have you been watching
I voted
TV?
To stay in.
Good boy.
Yeah. Brutally, I think anybody over the age of about 65, point blank, shouldn't have been allowed to vote.
because
it's my generation and the generation before and after mine. I have to sort of live with that. But I'd be very surprised if this is the end of the UK and the EU's relationship. Mm.
That was very serious from a man in a field with just a little...
Well, yeah.
Jack, what have you been watching on TV? What is it? What's your comfort blanket? If you're having a bad day, Jack, you're really doubting whether young people doubt your sexuality, your facial hair. What do you put on?
Either House of Cards or Dexter.
Oh, Dexter's a great shout.
Yeah, purely because I just love the power struggles in them and the sort of... how much you love and hate the characters at the same time, how bad they are, but then how good they are at the same time.
Can I tell you that I think that you're right to watch them, but you're wrong about your reasoning. Let me tell you why you actually watch those when you're in this mood.
Go on, then.
In my opinion, it's because in both of those cases, you've got a different kind of wish fulfillment than we've been talking about. You've got Dexter can wander around in secret and kill all the people that he doesn't fucking like. Like the Brexiters. And Kevin Spacey in House of Cards is going around secretly being duplicitous and changing the world by being a vigilante. They're kind of superheroes, but evil ones.
Yeah.
And
I would love to see Dexter saran wrap Nigel Farage's corpse.
I really was watching Nigel Farage on TV today and I really thought, and same with Trump, but I really thought with all this turmoil that Ben's feeling, what's going to stop Ben or someone like him leave the house and try and assassinate a politician?
Well,
but
that's what happened this week with Trump.
Oh, yeah, the guy in Vegas, yeah.
The British guy went to Vegas and he'd spent a year planning to kill him.
I will just mention my website, trustedvegas.com.
which has been frequented.
Which is what he really should have
looked at. By attempted murderers.
That is the way to do Vegas, not the way that guy did. If you are thinking of going. Well,
that was amazing. I've never heard such... fantastic product placement.
Thank you. Well, Jack, have a good evening.
Thank you very much. I'll let you know how it goes. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, happy anniversary. Actually, can we speak to your girlfriend for a moment?
And ask her.
Oh God.
Nicely played. Nicely played.
Yeah, well done.
That's exactly what I would have done.
Jack, we're losing you, so we'll say goodbye.
All right, okay then. Right, I'll let you know how we get on, and if I don't get flooded out, I'll see you next week.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right then. Bye. See you later.
And the phrase flooded out in the north is the same as sex in the south. So, no one found that funny. I think that'll do for this evening, for today. Thank you for joining us. I think we've licked our wounds enough, and next week we'll get back onto the business of talking pods. And next week, I think Tin and Duyeb. Yeah, am I right?
Yeah, iZombie.
iZombie. Now, where can I watch iZombie? We need to watch it before.
It's on Netflix, I believe.
It's on Netflix.
Excellent.
Really? I've never even heard of it. Okay, cool.
Matt, are you going to join us and watch the first episode?
I would hope so.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to try. Excellent.
Excellent, Mel. Well, it's on
Netflix. Even though it's zombies.
Yeah, even though it's zombies, I'll give it a go. So, iZombie next week. Some of us are going to watch the first episode, and then we're going to say what we think of it. And you can watch the first one as well if you like. You've got a week to watch it. Au revoir. Arrivederci. I can't use these languages anymore, can I? See you,
no,
fuckers.
You literally have no right.
No, you'd be taken down by the EU Commission.
Stick your bratwurst up your arse and see you next week. And by the way, quick shout out to the end of Game of Thrones this week. That was amazing.
I can't believe we've got a box set podcast to mention the season finale of Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Jamie, quick rundown of how you feel about the end of Game of Thrones and why.
Fantastic.
Sorry, very briefly. I did a chart this week.
Oh.
Which I've not read because basically 1 to 10 is Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Oh, deservedly.
There's just nothing else that comes close. So
Ben, I'm going to hand you over to Jamie now, who's just going to ask you a couple of quick questions. Sorry, this isn't the end of the podcast. We've got two things to deal with. Jamie, just talk to Ben. Ben is still not carrying on with Game of Thrones.
I won't grill you, Ben. I'll just say that if you stick with it, you'll get to a season called Season 6. And Season 6 is the best, some of the best television ever. Epic movie quality, brilliant drama, every single episode, including one episode, episode 9, you'll get to that one, that is stunning in every single way. And it's just been magnificent television. It's worth the journey.
I would like to add, Ben,
can I ask, do I have to go on the whole journey?
Yeah,
you do, because Season 6 is the payoff.
Yeah, you do.
Is it the payoff because Season 6 is the one that little Hobbit man hasn't written?
Yeah, he's been part of the process, so
okay,
you know, he's okayed it. But yeah,
I like his emails. He's sort of honest, isn't he?
Yeah, it's definitely like you've been made to eat Rye Vita for a while, and then suddenly you're offered a steak, and it's I would say, Ben, I'm now going to say something really controversial, but that episode last week, and most of this series, but definitely that episode last week, beats any episode of The West Wing or Chuck.
Whoa. Now let's think about who's saying this right now. This is a bold, bold statement from this man.
Mel?
True story. I've not watched West Wing, but you know how I feel about Chuck. True story.
Yes, I do. And it's, so what you're saying is, especially like considering I work in this sort of field I enjoy the old box sets, is that I cannot miss this episode.
No,
this episode
no.
is an unmissable piece of culture.
That's right. But,
yes.
But if you went to it without the rest,
it wouldn't
feel the same. No,
right.
No. It really wouldn't.
I am not going to stand for that.
Okay.
Oh!
I might have to start watching Game of Thrones again just so I can refute that.
Yeah.
Hey. What did Andy Dufresne have to do to get out of that awful prison? He had to crawl through
5,000
yards
of shit-smelling foulness that I can't
even imagine.
That's right.
Well done, Hal, for the actual quote there. Well done.
but you know what? It's not even like that's unfair on the other series. There are great episodes before that, but the last series is just it's a masterpiece.
God. It's so good. And Mel, it is the biggest travesty ever that you've not watched The West Wing. It's just so true.
That is a disaster, Mel, actually. That really is.
Also, we've had both Ben and Matt here, and they haven't had a chance to refute our podcast on Transparent, so maybe a sentence each.
I've already had my 30 seconds last week.
What I'll say is this, is that you've got to... Firstly, the second series, or the second season, is really exceptional. Like, it sort of throws back to 30s Berlin and tells a story along the pathway of the whole series that's really... really good and ties together into like a great season finale. So you get the sense of like storytelling across the whole season is brilliant. And the second season, I think they really get into the patter as well of like of the journey that all the different characters are going on. Oh, your main point really about that everybody being unlikable, I completely take. But here's the thing: this exists on Amazon Prime, and shows like this can start to exist now that have a little bit more brain to them and are a bit more exploratory.
A bit more of a novel.
Where, and it is, where filmmakers can take a situation and sort of explore it in a longer form without having to give you a commercial hit, without having to sort of hit you with a thing every week that makes you watch. Or, you know, we got into a thing, you know, with Lost being the definitive moment of that, where you had to have a hit before every ad break. Every 13 minutes there had to be a cliffhanger. Mm. And that defined storytelling for like the last 10 years, starting with 24 and through to stuff like Lost and Prison Break and things like that. This, what Amazon Prime and Netflix is allowing people to do, like for good or bad, because it's a very short-term thing, is that they can identify a demographic and then apply an amount of money to that demographic and then fund things that are able to be a bit more experimental and operate in a place that isn't as ruthless and as cutthroat as broadcast or network television. And so Transparent is more like a novel. And also, I think by dismissing it in its first few episodes, you're sort of... That's very, like, network and broadcast. Like, it's, oh, it's not working, move on, because there are a lot of things in the world to watch. Mm. So we're not allowing the time for things to... you know, to develop, and I think that's sort of crucial, really. And with Transparent, it's not to everyone's taste, but it discusses and talks about a lot of things that perhaps are relevant to a lot of people, and you know, and it accesses communities that you don't get to see realistically represented on mainstream television. And discusses topics that, and like especially how explicit it gets in terms of sexuality and you know, desire within people of all ages and, you know, all sexualities, that it can do that in an explicit and as raw way as other mediums won't allow. And if you were to have that in a film, it would be dismissed as quick and gratuitous, whereas here, because it's in a long form thing, you get to, you know, watch it and appreciate the emotion and the character thought behind it. And it is, so you know,
so it's good then. Yeah,
excellently put, Ben. Excellently put. That is far better than I did last week
with his half-assed phone signal. Yes,
and you're absolutely right. Yeah, and sorry that I know we said we were going to end it, but what you're saying about Amazon and Netflix is, I think, is really important. And I wish, for example, that the two networks had existed in the sort of state that they are now, when they were going to make the Harry Potter movies, for example, because like I really liked the Harry Potter books. I my brother was reading them when they were coming out and stuff, and so I read them and things like that. And I really hate what happened to them in the films. And I think this kind of the TV now is the form that it has the potential to be to a certain extent. It's coming into that, and I think
wouldn't it be great if they made Harry Potter the TV series? That would be brilliant.
If they could redo it properly.
And I think the first two films were a bit weak, but I enjoyed the rest, Matt. I enjoyed the rest.
The key thing about these two, about Netflix and Amazon Prime, is that they have what other broadcasters don't have, which is data. Now, Amazon has a lot less data, but Netflix has got 12, 13 years of audience data that they can draw on, and that's person to person. Like, no other network has, even HBO doesn't have that kind of...
They never get it right. When it says suggestions for you, I am never, never attracted by the suggestions.
That's because you and your wife share the same account, and me and my 2-year-old daughter... Things. Me and my 2-year-old daughter share the same account, and so I don't want to watch Paw Patrol.
Is that a Nigel Farage program?
Paw Patrol.
Mel, two questions. Number one, what do you think of Matt saying that the Harry Potter films are dreadful?
As I sit here wearing my platform 9¾ shirt
with my phone.
Yeah. Yes, the ringtone on my phone is the theme from the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah,
that's the only good thing.
I quite enjoy the movies for what they are. I think there were a lot of missed opportunities, and the books I will watch or read over and over and over, and the movies I'm watching with my nieces right now because they want to see them, not necessarily because I need to.
I haven't read the books, and I'm sure if I'd read the books, I'd feel the same way, but I love the films. I love the later films, anyway.
The great thing about the films is that they start off crap, and then they get better.
Steadily worse.
Thank you. I mean, it's...
And then, so that's great.
In a way they do. They leave out so much of the nuance that Joe put in the books, and
how do you do that? Like, how you've got the last book, they split that over 2-3-hour films or something. Like,
you turn it into a TV series, Ben.
Well, you do.
That's what I'm saying. That was the only way to do it, and they didn't do it.
Shut up and enjoy it, huh? They didn't
because
do
it's
it.
Awful. It's really bad.
It's not really
they're
bad.
They're really bad.
Successful as a result of it being quite good.
They're not as good as they could have been, but they're not.
When they did it, this is really boring. But basically, like when they started doing it, you couldn't make that kind of television series.
Mm. Like, that's what I'm saying. It was a shame. I wish it had been around.
Game of Thrones and things like that, you can, it's provable. Like, Game of Thrones is the definition of a long form movie.
Yeah.
Have any of you seen the play? No,
I've not had a chance. No.
But I have been to Orlando's Universal Resort, and I have been to the town of Hogsmeade. And I tell you, if Matthew had been there, all of the coldness in his heart would have melted away.
You're missing the point here. I like the books.
Yeah, this is just disappointment that comes from Matthew. It's the death of his heart that we're hearing speak, as with everything.
You need to visit Wizard.
Yes, I'm saying that the films have trodden all over something I held dear.
Yeah, you're saying, but that's not the film's fault. It's you becoming an adult, and that's what you've got to get used to. You've just got a road of disappointment ahead of you, Matthew. Good night,
and
everybody.
And on that happy note...
Final point is that I've forgotten now, but Mel, did you miss the West Wing first time round because you were still a registered Republican? Jamie, I know you want to go. Mel, was it because you were a Republican that you didn't watch the West Wing?
No, I feel like there was a conflict at the time or something.
Fine.
I don't know.
Well, watch it. Jamie, how are you doing?
Don't tell me what
to do. Ready to go. Ready to go.
It's on my list, I promise. It is on my list.
Good.
People that I respect other than you have said that.
There's Matt Salador. It means it's time to go. And
sorry, I thought I'd muted my mic.
He needs to let the footman out of the cellar for the evening. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Well,
and how good was Jack in the field? No, that was good.
That was excellent. I really like that.
We need somebody outside on every podcast. We'll be right back.
Okay, I'm stood next to a river, and there's some ducks going past in that. Big black clouds above me. It's about to absolutely piss it down. I can just...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
See a tiny bit of sun just in the horizon.